and thank you for picking this podcast. Happy Horror Time. My name is Tim Murdoch, and I'm here with
Matt Emmert.
That's right.
I thought for a second that you forgot my name, and I am here with Maury
Povich. Married to Connie
Chung.
I was going to say Connie Selica.
Connie Selica. Nice, nice.
Equally as beautiful.
Nice. Welcome to Happy Horror Time.
Yeah, Matt. It's the hottest day of the year.
It is. So if you're listening to this, it won't be. Oh, no, it will be because we release it immediately, right?
Yeah.
It's September 30th, which to me is like spooky season eve because October 1st is tomorrow. And you're thinking, you know, oh, we're getting some of that crisp autumn weather. Nope, not in Los Angeles. It's like 96 degrees.
I don't think we're going to get any crisp autumn weather until like November 1st.
And also how crisp it'll be, like 70 instead of 80.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I know. It doesn't really put you in that spooky mood, does it,
no,
Tim?
No. I remember a couple of Halloween past, like wearing a Halloween costume, just sweating my balls off.
That's why, as a gay man, I like to dress in as little clothing as possible on Halloween. That's the whole purpose of Halloween.
Slut.
I used to think, you know, it's like they always all, it's like, oh, for girls, it can be when you can be as slutty as possible. I'm like, what do you mean? How about for guys, too? It's a chance to dress in as skimpy an outfit as you want.
That's right.
Just go to the West Hollywood Parade and you see that. But guess what? There won't be this year.
There'll be
Tim.
No trick-or-treating. There will be no West Hollywood on the Boulevard.
Yeah, they have really, Los Angeles like was the first city to say like, hey guys, you can't do this shit. It's probably smarter, but it's just like, it's sad.
It is sad.
It is sad.
But you know what else is sad? Oh, speaking, okay, real quick, before we start our real movies, I just real quickly, you know what the scariest movie of the year that I saw this year is?
Well, but the year's not over.
Well, okay, well, pretty close so far.
Okay, what?
Did you see The Social Dilemma?
Yes. Oh, yes, I did. I did. The documentary on Netflix.
Yes. I was guilty about five of those things.
I just yelled into the microphone.
I just coughed into it.
I got really excited. Excited.
Yeah. Like, oh.
Tell me why you thought that was scary.
I thought it was scary because, like, I do wake up and the first thing I do is grab my phone. Guilty of that. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to make this so quick because I need to turn my air conditioner back on because I'm sweating.
I know. Yeah. So without, we can't do, there's no, we can't have air conditioning creates a lot of sound and we can't have air conditioning.
Yeah. Podcast 101.
I know. Exactly. But wait. Social Dilemma. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's not going to be a movie we're going to talk about, but let's just say if you have a social media account, which means every single person, watch The Social Dilemma and it'll make you think twice about everything with social media. The thing is, what's sad about that documentary is it is true. Like, that kind of stuff is true. Like, it's really scary. People own all of our info and can predict everything that we want and position stuff for. It's scary. It's scary.
I looked at it two ways. I looked at it like, A, I have nothing to hide.
Well.
And B, I only watch. I don't watch porn. I don't watch porn.
But here's the thing, please. Like, you're the first person who watched porn. Like, yeah, I mean, it's more about, like, that they know, like, if I stop to scroll for something for a long time, I'm going to get a million ads about that. Like, it's just scary. Like, what if I have someone over using my phone and I have to do ads? I don't know. Either way, it's scary that it's getting to the point where now I feel like, in a while, like soon we're just going to think a thought and then like something's going to pop us on our phone. I mean, it's almost basically there.
I know. Well, I mean, like I'm constantly
thinking of Connie Chung.
Yes. We just did a full circle moment.
Yes. And bringing it back, well, that'll get us to start on the movies. Okay. What's the first movie?
Okay,
Tim?
Let's get this going. Okay, so we're really doing new releases, so I'm really proud of us because we're bringing new cinema to the people.
And also, in a year like this, when barely has, mm-hmm. Speaking is fun. Yeah, in a year like this, when barely any movies have come out in mainstream theaters, there's still been a lot of great horror that's come out on demand. And we are making sure to watch and keep up with all of them.
And keeping up with the Kardashians.
And remember what our tagline is, Tim. We spoil everything.
Oh, yeah. So get ready because I will say these movies are like 100% movies that you probably don't want spoiled. But you know what?
But you know what? You're listening. You know what we talk about. You know how we talk about them. So get ready. But here's the thing. You can still watch it, hear our commentary, spoil it, and still have fun
watching it. Because sometimes hearing it and seeing it, you know what? Two different
things. I mean, think about why do people who've read a book that's made into a movie go, it's spoiled, right? Right.
You'll see what scene stayed in, what scene stayed out. And is John Travolta in it?
And also, we're not the most accurate in describing things, so yeah, maybe we're fucked something up.
I can tell you right now, I don't remember any of the actors' names.
That's why I have my trusty smartphone here with IMDb to pull it up.
Thank God, because if I have questions, you've got the answers.
Okay, so first movie
is No Escape. And
which, funny enough, on the poster used to be called Follow Me, and apparently that was the first title. I just saw this on IMDb, and they changed it to No Escape. And
No Escape is a movie with Ray Liotta back in the 90s. Do you remember it?
No.
It came out in like 1994 or 5, something like that.
Well, this is definitely not No Escape with Ray Liotta. But
I wish it was.
I will say this. Like, so they probably changed the title because a lot of the movie has to do with an escape room. But just to set the scene, it starts with this, what is he, an influencer or a blogger or what?
Once again, we have a movie about an influencer.
And it's funny. He's played by Keegan Allen, which if you watched Pretty Little Liars, which I didn't, did you?
I would.
I know. he was on it. But what I remembered him in, because I love anything with hot guys having sex, King Cobra, which was about the porn star, and he played one of the porn stars who murdered the the studio guy or whatever.
Yes. So I never saw that, but it had like a huge good cast. Like Molly Ringwald was in it.
Yeah, and it had like Christian Slater, which was weird.
Juliette Lewis?
I don't know if she was. I only remember the men. No, right. There was a James Franco, who loves playing gay and talking.
I love Keegan Allen, Dave.
The thing is, Keegan Allen is a very good looking person, and they totally know that because the film opens with him shirtless in a bathroom. Like literally, that's the first shot.
It's, you know what, you gotta share your assets.
Ass. Well, he's got some abs.
You know, I will say this, thanks to my base camp closing, I would say I'm looking for my abs.
Where are they? Where have they gone?
They're under my ribs, which I'm calling my ribs abs now.
Well, here's the thing. They probably filmed this before COVID, so when everybody could still work out, and who knows, maybe Keegan doesn't. Keegan. It just sounds funny. Keegan.
Well, you know, he's got an interesting look.
He does. He's got a, like, here's the thing. Sometimes, I remember, like, we were watching, it's like, sometimes he looks really cute, and other times you're like,
You know, and here's the thing. I don't ever want to critique acting and looks and film.
That's kind of what we do,
though. I know.
Look, I don't ever want to critique or even talk about films, but...
No, you know what I mean? It's hard. As someone who's made a short film with you...
I think people tune in just to hear that.
I know. Okay, this is what I'm going to say. Like, I totally agree with you 100%. Like, some scenes I was like, ooh, he's a hottie. And other scenes I'm like, what was I thinking?
There's a million times... Haven't you ever met guys like that who, like, from certain angles, they're really hot, and other angles you're like... Yeah. Stay in that angle, please. That's Keegan Allen, ever.
No one thinks of me like that.
I'm sure people do, but you know
what? No! Welcome. Cute all
Sorry,
the time.
Everyone thinks you're hot in every angle.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I don't care if people, at least that means they think I'm hot in a certain angle.
That's true.
Anyway, that's so not important. But basically, just to sum up the plot, he's an influencer, right?
Right.
It
starts off on a plane, and they haven't told him where they're going. And first off, this plane, it's not a plane.
Oh, it's a set. Yeah. But he's
from
like
the get-go, you're like, okay, this is not going to be you know what? It's
polished.
It's polished, but it's not a plane.
Yeah. But they're going to, so apparently he's an influencer and he's known for, he has a channel called, God, I can't remember. It's like No Escape. He's basically almost like, not a jackass guy, but he likes to do extreme stunts. Like he films himself and he has like millions of followers, which they love seeing him doing as extreme a thing as possible. So his friend hears about this like crazy intense escape room in Russia right away. When you hear something's in Russia.
Don't go.
Yes. I mean, come on. And we, not just the anti-gay things. How about just the like, hey, you don't agree with Putin, you're going to be murdered.
Right.
Or
and I don't, and last time I checked, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think Russia is a cheerleader for gayness.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're
but
no very
one in the film,
anti.
No one in the film's gay.
So they're cool.
It's all good.
But so he's going with his friends and he has this girlfriend who's like the only likable character because she's like
gorgeous.
Okay, well, she's beautiful. I mean,
she looks like Jacinda Barrett from Urban Legend 2, yes. The Final Cut.
She also looks like Isla Fisher. It's spelled like
Kyla Kayla.
Isla. It's spelled Isla. Isla. Isla Fisher. She looks like Isla Fisher. She's beautiful, but she kind of makes fun of Keegan because she's just like, you have to, you know, because any influencer, it's like everything you have to be filming. Oh my God.
Okay, so like he like, you know, films his little show and it says like he's got millions of viewers, and then they show like her Instagram and says like 700.
I know, which I was like, oh my God, that's like 200 more followers than I have.
What, Matt? That is sad.
You're like, you're off. You're out you're of the podcast. Off.
Don't you know your self-worth is your numbers?
Oh yeah, I know. I was going to say it's like the social zone. But anyway, so they go to Russia. And, like, the first part of the movie kind of is just, like, padding, right? They're, like, supposedly going around touristy stuff, but, like, that no one cares about
first
that.
First of all, I don't even think it's Russia.
Although, remember, we looked it up, and it did say they filmed it in Russia, but who knows? They could have filmed, like, one plant in Russia.
I think the exteriors were definitely filmed in Russia.
Meaning they bought stock photography.
And that's it.
It totally could be, because but, you know, it could have been stock photography.
If it was my first time seeing a movie ever, I would believe it.
Well, hey, and you know what? I hope our listeners have never seen movies.
Me too. I hope whoever's listening has never seen a
because
movie.
Because then we'll totally spoil them for
and
you.
They, no. And I will say they reach all the stereotypes. They have, like, they have one lesbian girl. Yes,
they had a lesbian girl who they made so stereotypically lesbian. Like, they made her very butch, and I'm not saying this should be the stereotype, I'm just saying how the movie was, like, very butch, tattoos, like, yeah, man, and I'm just like, okay, stereotype, but whatever, I guess I could say at least they had her in it. They had his one token African-American friend, of course, the main guy's white, you know, but at least I guess they had some diverse. Well, who else did they have? They had the one, was he, like...
I think, I want to say Latino?
I'm not sure if he was, or I actually thought he may have been...
He was very cute.
Middle Eastern. I think he may have been Middle Eastern, but he was... Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, anyway. Like, I, you know, I appreciate that they hit... You know, it wasn't just a, like, the usual 90210 Melrose Place cast.
All white blonde people. Yeah, exactly. So they go there. So anyway, when it gets to the second night, they're going to this escape room, and it actually looked like it would be a cool escape room. And so at first, like, all his friends are all put in different rooms, and they're all trapped, and he has to, like... help each one of them out of a situation which could kill them.
Be deadly.
Yeah, like one guy is slowly being like pulled, almost like pulled apart. One guy, there's like a tomb that's closing in on him that has spikes in it, right?
Yeah.
Then there's the lesbian was in... The lesbian. Can you remember her name so you don't have to call her the lesbian?
I don't.
The lesbian.
She had big hair.
Yes, big-haired lesbian. she's in an electric chair, and then his girlfriend is in, like, a tank that's filling up with water, and he has to solve puzzles, but he's slowly realizing it's like, wait a second, like, I think... He didn't think it's real, but, like, it's starting to seem like it may
get
be real. Yeah, and I'm thinking, so we don't go through everything, like, he finally gets all his friends out except for his girlfriend. And it gets to the point where the tank has filled to the part where she's underwater and, like, can't breathe. And he's realizing, oh, shit, this is serious. And he, like, what did he do?
Which really annoyed me. And here's the thing. Okay, I did want to critique acting, but, like, he was so annoying. Like, the lead guy. I don't know. There was just something about him that Keegan. Was, like, Keegan did not have the acting chops to pull off. Like, I think if it was another actor, I'd be more frightened. But I was too aware that, like, he was trying so hard.
I think also what made it a little confusing is during this whole thing. So, you know that this movie's advertised like it's going to be some fucked up escape room. But during the whole thing, you're wondering, like, there's a part of you that's wondering, is this real?
It's like April Fool's Day.
Is it not? But when someone's in water in a tank... Like, and there's no escape.
That's something you can't fake.
Yeah, you can't fake.
Drowning is drowning.
Yeah, so we're thinking. So anyway, to skip forward, finally, he, like, I don't know, he physically, like, knocks off the top of the tank, gets her out, has to give her CPR, and she survives. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, that's good. And then the movie takes, like, a quick turn. Like, they're going to leave, and they're like, this is fucked up, this is too intense. And then outside, they all get taken kidnapped.
Right, earlier in the film, they go to, like, this club, and they have a run-in with these mean Russians.
Oh.
So they walk out of the escape room, and then these mean Russians, like...
kill one of their friends. Right. Not one of the people in the escape room, but one of the friends that they knew, and kidnaps them. But what was so weird is that it almost felt like two different movies. There was, like, the whole escape room part, then there was the kidnapping, because then he takes all of them to another place, puts them all in separate rooms. Keegan gets out again and has to try to save his friends, but he keeps seeing each one of them now is getting murdered right. by the angry Russians.
And it's a very Saw fashion. Like, it's like, we... Gosh, how were the deaths? Like,
well, here's the thing, and we were both questioning this, which you probably would be too, and since we can spoil it, it's great to say, but when each of the friends get killed, the person, the angry Russian that kills them, kind of covers them up as he kills them. So we're all thinking, like, is this still a setup? Is this part of the escape room? Why are they not showing it? But then it gets to a part when he literally sees his girlfriend shot in the head and, like, blood explode from her head. Remember
that? Yeah,
yeah. So, and I was at like, that point, I was like, this is real.
Right, okay.
Like, he just watched all of his friends get killed.
Okay, so then he runs out, and he's, like, the guy's, like, clapping his hands, like, bravo, oh, you made it. Oh,
this is the big twist ending,
the big twist ending. Yeah. So then he takes it upon himself to, like, punch his face in.
Well, who that guy? So the guy who got them to the escape room.
He said, right before they walked in, he goes, things are not what they seem, or says something like that.
But
like,
so, at the very end, when he's watching all his friends get murdered, he's sitting there, like, clapping his hands, bravo, and Keegan is so physically messed up that he goes and he just beats the shit out of the guy
in his face
to a pulp, like, bangs his head over and over till it's completely smashed.
His face looks like a smashed pumpkin.
Yeah, like, he's deader than dead, beaten to death, like, takes it all out, and then all the lights go on, all of his friends come out, like, surprise, it was all fake just to celebrate the 10th anniversary
of his stupid
extreme
show. Like, whatever the F he does.
Yes, but here's the thing. Him bashing the guy's brains in was not fake. So they quickly go from surprise, wasn't that great, to being horrified. And then it just ends. Wasn't that how it ended, I think, right at there?
Yeah, well, yes. And then, like, as the credits were rolling, they showed how they did.
Yes, all, they showed, like, that everything was planned. Like, the escape room, all, even the tank. Like, they were giving her oxygen from the top. All the fake deaths, all the props.
I mean, I really can't, like, I would kind of like to see a sequel to Fallout. Like, here's this guy that people have loved. And then they put him in a position where he could potentially kill someone. And he does. And then they're like, oh.
But here's the thing.
This isn't going to turn out well.
Here's a question for you. Like, okay, what happens when, do you convict someone like Keegan of murder? I mean, I guess you have to, but, like, you fucked with him so much. You drove him nuts. You literally showed his friends and girlfriend tortured and murdered in
front
of him.
Shot in the head.
Yeah, and then he takes his anger out, and I guess that's still illegal, but, like, what jury wouldn't take a little sympathy on him? Like, and we were talking, remember, like, it's like, there's pranks and there's pranks. This is way too far.
Oh my gosh. I think even going to Russia is too far.
Yeah, that's, like, that's extreme.
I
mean, like,
yeah, I just, so, good movie, I guess. Would you recommend it?
I actually would. Like, here's the thing. I remember when I was watching the previews, it looked like, eh, and I remember because, remember, I felt bad for, I recommended this one because I'm like, it's new and it's horror.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, is it going to be another shitty escape room one? Because we've seen a couple shitty escape room
movies. I actually hate escape rooms in real life and on film, but this film, I liked.
And I liked it too, and this is why. First off, the actual escape room part was pretty intense because if you haven't had it spoiled like we did, you know, you don't know if they're truly in danger or what, and you do think that some of them are going to die, then they don't. And then I think the twist on it being like the April Fool's Day was all fake was a good twist that I haven't seen on an escape room type of movie. So I actually liked it.
Me too. I would recommend it. And it's, you know, as cheap as the Russia is, I actually thought that was fun. I mean, just to, like, like, how, you know what? It's an ambitious movie.
Well, like, yeah. And it's also, like, it's, first off, I think it's on demand now. You have to rent it for $6.99. So, again, there's, like, different tiers of movies. There's $19.99s, $6.99s, and $3.99s. I don't know if I'd be able to say rent it for $19.99. I definitely think it's worth $6.99.
I totally agree. And that leads us to our next movie, which is $6.99.
Or did I get that wrong? Was No Escape free and with Prime Video, and Alone cost money? Yes, Alone.
I had to pay for Alone.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe I'm wrong, but look for No Escape. The poster says Follow Me, but it's called No Escape with Keegan Allen.
And there's, like, a girl, and she looks like she's drowning.
She's in a tank and, like, drowning. But I think it's free. I don't know if it's free or not. Sorry, people listening.
Google it.
But now we have to get to, till now, I always got on my own.
alone.
So kick him off with Alone, Timmy.
Okay. This is my very first movie ever watching on Prime. It's the first movie I've ever paid for.
What?
Yeah.
Oh my God. So, I love it. Cost
$6.99. I loved it. I will say I loved it, but I will say I was scared and I watched it in the middle of the day on my laptop. I didn't have the luck. I'm still learning how to get a movie
on your TV. On my TV.
I'm still learning.
So I watched it on a TV. So, I guess we should tell people. So it's called Alone, and very simple story. A woman, and I think it takes place in...
I think it's modern day.
No, but I mean, was it like in... England or no? Actually, why am I saying that? No,
I would say
it was in like the Pacific Northwest, because I think I saw she had like a Oregon or Washington license. Anyway, she obviously just got out of a marriage, and you don't know why, and she's just driving. I think all the way, like a really long road trip to her parents. I think she's either moving in with them or starting her life over, and basically she just comes across like. A guy who, I forget the first meeting
the
with
first
him.
She's annoyed because he's driving slow in front of her.
Yes. Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah. It had a little bit of the unhinged feel.
Oh, it did very, very much unhinged. But this movie was shot more beautiful, and I think it was more realistic. I think Unhinged was like over the top. Yeah. Like, look what we're doing.
Yes, you're right. She passes him, and then he starts kind of following her.
He was messing with her because like a car came, and like there's no way, like he started speeding up and there was like a truck coming.
Yes, first off, in general, this movie, because I really, really liked it too, like loved it. The way they built the suspense was incredible.
Oh my God, it was so
incredible.
Good. Oh, by the way, going back to in the opening credits, they were just showing like an open road.
Yeah.
Did you see who produced it?
Who?
It was the voice of Bart Simpson, Yeardley Smith.
Really?
Yeah. So, of course, I got a little distracted and had to look up, like, I was like,
Bart Simpson.
Bart Simpson.
And you were like, eat my shorts.
I said, hey, what's up?
You
hey, dude.
Not lay a finger on my butterfinger.
No, but he had like a dude one.
Oh, hey, you dude. Got it too. No, wait, that's full. No.
We
don't fucking know.
There's a Bart Simpson dude.
Okay, it's a dude. Okay. But
anyway, Bart Simpson produced this movie.
Yes. Okay, so, but they build suspense so well. So every scene on the road, like when she first passed this guy, you know that he's going to be coming for, but like, it's a slow burn, but in a good way. Like, then remember he shows up at the gas station she's at and she's like, okay, I got to get away. Like, so she gets away first and he keeps making excuses like, hey, can you help me? I really liked her, but talk about likable characters.
She was.
The first thing you think is, oh, this dummy's going to stop for him, but she doesn't. She just pulls away and she starts to realize, I think this guy's following me.
And you know what? You know, this movie made me for the first time ever like really, really sympathize with women. I mean, just like
for the first time ever.
For the first time ever. No, but I mean, like,
you know, that whole like not being paid equal pay, having to fight for abortions, nothing. But this movie.
But this movie, like, it really was just like, like, it just.
I know what you're trying to say. Like, a woman alone on the road, I 100%.
Out in the middle of nowhere. I just was like.
100%. It's a totally different dynamic.
You're already 50%. In a scary place.
And you're right. And but not just a woman being alone like that. A woman being alone when there's a guy who's alone following her.
Yeah, and
I think every woman has felt some sort of fear with some creepy guy
like,
following her.
I can't believe I'm talking about this, but I'm not like pro guns. I'm not like carry a gun. But in this situation, I was like, I wonder if she has a... I mean, I wonder if she could have a gun.
I mean,
gun
you can also have things like pepper spray or like other stuff so where you don't have to have a gun, but you can still like defend yourself.
I wanted her to have a weapon.
Yes. But what I liked again is they didn't make her stupid. She was very smart.
Very smart.
Very smart. She was thoughtful. She wasn't making like the simple horror movie mistakes. But anyway, we get to a point where finally, after multiple times where he just shows up, where remember he shows up at the hotel she was at. Oh, how funny. Like, you can tell this guy is
that
obviously following her.
That interaction was very weird because he was like, he was just saying like, oh, well, I mean, like, I just wanted to apologize. I, you know, I was checking my phone and you were trying to pass me.
And
like,
weren't you thinking like you came all the way and waited till the next morning out of her hotel to apologize? I knew right away, like, this is the guy's
strange behavior.
But that's why I think the movie was great, because it was slow. Again, it didn't just start, oh, she's being followed and then
he's
comes after her. Yeah. It was little things like passing someone on the road. Him showing up at the gas station, him showing up at the hotel. Well, anyway, finally, it gets to a point where she gets a flat tire and he has positioned his car on a one-way street in front so she can't get past. And or am I confusing two different scenes?
Wait,
she got a flat tire, didn't she? But or did she get stuck and she couldn't get past him?
He was in the middle of the road.
Yes,
and then he was like, "How about if you take me to the next gas station?" And she's like, "How about if I get on my GPS?"
Oh, but that was I feel like I'm forgetting each thing. No, so I'm thinking of when he finally comes to get her.
Oh, that is when she. Oh yeah, he follows her. No, they're at a rest stop. Oh, she takes the call from her mom. She gets in her car and he follows her. Like,
and doesn't she get a flat tire and then he shows up?
I don't remember her getting a flat tire. I think runs off the road. Either way,
finally, after all this time of like happening to be in places where she is and following her, I love how like we watched it just a few days ago. We can't effing remember. And wait, now what state is she in? Here's the thing. And we're like, we love the movie, lot of run-ins. It's hard to keep track exactly. Okay,
no, he literally is following her and then like she calls 911.
Oh, but he finally doesn't pretend anymore and he comes up to her window with a crowbar and slams through it and then punches her in the face.
And then puts a shot in her neck.
Yes, yes. And then she wakes up. So basically, for the first half of the movie, there is a small part of me that's like, maybe he's not bad, it's just in her head, but you know it's leading toward that he is, and that's when he finally like shows, obviously, he's been... The whole thing has been a plot to get and kidnap her. So she wakes up in this like abandoned house, of course, probably every person's worst nightmare. You know what I mean? You're dead. You know you're dead.
And then he comes down and he's like, take off your clothes. And she's like, no.
Oh, and then he does some weird like emotional bullying where he like finds the picture of her husband on the phone. And that's when you find out she didn't just break up with her husband. He committed suicide.
This is where I still have a lot of questions. Did he know her prior? Did he, like, because, I mean, obviously you wonder, know everything.
Yeah, that's the thing. He may have been hunting down the girls. Maybe he just scrolled through the phone. And the amount of info you can find out about someone just going through their phone, like, you don't even need to know them. So, but he starts, like, to the point of, like, making her... Not just she's terrified, she's crying, and he starts, like, basically blaming her. Like, it's, like, the worst things to say to someone who's lost someone, like... You know, usually when people commit suicide, they give signs to their loved ones. You know, apparently you didn't see it coming. Like, basically making her feel responsible for it. Like, just making her...
And he's holding her face to make her watch the video.
Oh, of videos of her with him. Like, yeah. And basically, it's like, at that point, I was thinking, like, just kill her.
This is terrible.
Worse than death. But anyway, luckily, she escapes. And how did she escape?
She takes off her sweatshirt and she pulls off a nail from the wall.
Yes, and then she gets the key because he left the key on the other side of the door.
Then she walks up, and right as she's walking up from the basement, he's walking in. So she gets into a closet, and he takes a call to his wife and kid.
Yes, that was creepy.
And she's just witnessing the whole call.
She's witnessing him lie to his wife and say he's on a business trip, and then say hi to his kid. And he's saying, oh, daddy loves you, which I thought was a good tactic because, you know, a lot of these, like, serial killers, they do have fake lives. And sometimes the wives and kids never even knew they were on the side a killer, which I can't imagine how you not know that your partner has a double life. But anyway, she finally runs and gets out, makes a break for it, and takes his car. And I think he starts following her, right?
Wait, no, she... okay, so he...
No, she doesn't take his car. God, no, fucking it up.
God, sorry. You're not watching the same film? No, I'm sorry. I just dazed out for a second.
Like, where am I?
What's happening? What happens is... So he goes downstairs, and then she bolts and just runs, and then she gets a huge stick in her foot, and they have this close-up of her... pulling out this nasty stick from her foot, and then she's still running, and then this is actually pretty good. She jumps into this river, right?
Yes, that's true, because so he catches up with her because obviously she's hurt her foot, and he gets her to the edge of this river that has rapids, and basically it's either jump in the river or have to be taken back with him. And as I'm sure all of us would do, she jumps in the river.
Thank God.
And she makes it out of it. So this is where there's like another quick, they add a quick like supporting character. She runs into
poor guy.
First glance, you just think he's an old guy. If you look closely, I don't know if you noticed this, that was, well, you barely have seen this movie, but that was Dr. Chilton in Silence of the Lambs.
Oh,
Tim,
yeah.
Have you seen Silence of the Lambs?
You know what? I finally saw it this year in July.
It only took him 29 years.
It's 30 years. It came out in 1990.
91.
Right? Holy hell.
I know, but Dr.
Chilton. Are you sure it came out in the
Yeah, yeah. Only because I remember that year it won the Oscar. My mom was very upset because she wanted Prince of Tides to win. It was the 1991 Oscar.
Because she loved
Barbara. Wait, actually, if it was the 91 Oscars, maybe it did come out in 90.
You know what? Thanks for calling me a liar.
You're lying, and you did it on purpose.
No, so she runs into that guy. Well, first off, she hits him with a stick, and he's like, argh!
Oh, well, she doesn't know if he's with her or something. She pleads with him, like, oh, my God, someone's coming after me. And he actually does say, like, get in the car. I'll help you. And he has a gun.
Right. So, well, she asks him for a phone, and he hands her a cracked phone.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, why is he handing her a cracked
phone? Well, she finally, and this, I mean, I keep forgetting which, this like,
is,
car
this,
thing.
This scene to me was the most heartbreaking because, oh my gosh, she found someone. She's in a car. He's giving her sandwiches. Yeah. Then of course,
the bad guy catches up with them. Well, but the thing is, the bad guy tries to use a tactic. He first approaches them, and she's like, that's him. And the bad guy tries
to say, my wife is having a psychological episode.
Or I thought it was my sister. I don't know. But he just says, someone he loves, he's like, oh, she's just having an episode. She gets lost and foggy. Nothing's wrong. And you think for a second that Dr. Chilton, I'm going to call him, is going to believe him. And she's like, he's lying. But like, because she's all crazed, it looks like it could be true, but finally, thank God, I like that this movie had smart characters. She says, tell him to, what did she say to prove it? Tell him to, or, oh no, she says, check out his story, like call whatever hospital or something.
And then he doesn't. And then she runs, and then the guy makes the mistake. He falls to the ground, and then he punches the heck out of him. And then does he shoot him in the face?
I think he shoots him in the head, yeah. Ugh. Because basically the old guy believes her and says, well, I'm going to have to check up on the story. And then the bad guy realizes his story is not going to work. He's going to have to kill this guy. So he kills the poor guy.
So then she's alone. She's alone again.
Yes.
At night.
And
And then he's like, he literally is taunting her to come out.
Yes, that's another, again, what I liked about this movie, though, is they had so many, like, you think something's gonna happen because of normal horror movie tropes, I guess, and it didn't. Like, he puts his gun down in the swamp and he says, okay, I'm gonna give you 1 minute to come out and see if you can get the gun before me. And like, she's hiding very close by, and there's this really suspenseful scene where you think she is gonna jump out and try to get the gun. And the entire time, you keep thinking she is, and she doesn't. She stays hidden, which was smart, because you know he probably would have had the gun or something like that. So so finally she stays hidden, and then we get to the big ending. I feel like we're making this movie sound like it's like 2 hours long.
No, it was only an hour and 30 minutes.
I know, but because there are so many eventful scenes, that's why there's so much to talk about, right?
Two people in it, really, three people.
Two and a half, because the poor guy, Dr. Chilton, was like a half character.
So
the big final showdown. But
then she sees that he's taking the dead body and is going to bury it.
Yes.
And then she hops in that car, which I don't know. This is where I was like, I don't know if that's the smartest thing.
I would have, I think, if I were her, tried to get the gun, because he put the gun down and then went to bury the guy he killed. Instead, she jumps in the car, but nobody knows she gets his car.
She gets his cell phone and gets into the very back of the seat. She calls 911
while she's trying to hide from him
in the very driving. Back. So, I mean, I guess.
Did you like when she's trying to talk to him but still stay silent? She's like,
yeah, she's like, they're like, ma'am, we can't hear you.
Ma'am, we don't speak.
I was like, I guess this plan's gonna work.
Because I always was thinking, like, I was like, please don't put on speakerphone. But I guess here's the thing. I feel like there's enough times when if 911 gets a call and someone's not speaking.
Just trace it.
Yes, just trace it. Obviously, the person in danger and can't speak but wants to make the call. Like, I hate when the operator's like, I can't hear you. What's your emergency? Well, obviously, because the person's in danger.
Right, right. Like, I can't talk. The person's holding a knife to my neck at the moment.
But so the big final showdown, like, he finally sees her and she goes and stabs him.
She has a crowbar.
Yes, she hits him. Sorry. Yeah. God, I am fucking up.
No, but there is a knife. Like, she does get a knife. She slams it in his arm?
I think so, yeah.
Yes. And then I love it. We basically sound like two old people
trying to remember or like trying to work the internet. Yeah.
Like, no. How's this work? No, so she stabs, and this is where, oh my God. So the car flips over.
Yes.
She crawls out. The crawling of her getting out of that car was so suspenseful because you kept waiting for him to be like, ah!
Well, but what I didn't like right after that is that she kind of walks away. And yeah. I was like, the first thing you do is kill check him. On and kill him because he's not going to stop, you know. But there is a little bit of a twist here at the very end. And, of course, he's still alive. She has his phone and she calls up the wife. Basically says, my name is Jessica whatever. I was kidnapped by your wife. He's not on a work trip. He's a murderer. He's murdered many times. I was like, yeah. I know.
Well, actually, I was like, is this tactic going to save her life?
I think at that time she figured that she was in the middle of nowhere. So even, and 911 wasn't going to get there quickly. Or sorry, she had already called 911. There really isn't anything else she can do. So she figured at least if she's going to die, she's going to take him down too. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like very, and she also was like, he's been doing as much as he can to hurt me. What can I do? Because here's the thing. Even if he kills her after that, his wife hears about him being a murderer, and that ruins his life. Right. So I think she figures, if you're going to ruin my life, I'm going to ruin yours. So I kind of felt that was like a strong woman.
No, it was good. And I was like, okay, she's got a crowbar. He's got a knife. They're literally are going to duke it out to the
death.
And
they do. And they do duke it out. And again, this is why I love this woman. She's smart. She's thoughtful. But like, they have this big fight.
Oh my God. It was, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Like there was, I was like, when she stabbed him or he hit her, I was like, when he got her, like, hands around her neck. I was like, how is she gonna live? Like,
I didn't know at that point if she was, and that's why they keep building suspense. But this huge fight, and finally,
in the mud, in the freezing cold.
Yes, like she's covered in mud. Like he is, you know, she just called his wife, like he's pissed at her. They just hate each other. Finally, she stabs him in the heart, and right? And aren't the police coming right as he dies?
Okay, so right, they're covered in mud. She finally, like, I think the final stab.
Yeah.
And then they look at each other, and then she kind of flips over.
And they kiss.
And then they get married, the end. No, and then she, like, rolls over. There's, like, wind. There's a helicopter. And then, like, her face is all bloody and muddy, and I'm assuming she's saved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I think police or whoever she contacted is coming, but he's dead. But it's like, again, and then it ends, but it was just like,
I think it was only an hour and 34 minutes, but so, it felt like 2 hours, but not a bad 2 hours.
No, I think, but what the reason why I highly recommend this is because it has everything you want from a horror movie. Like, you know, some horror movies are fun, but they don't have any suspense. Well, this one has suspense. You know, you want to have a character you can really like and believe in. This definitely was strong, great character.
I was rooting for her from the beginning because I feel like anyone that has a relationship end is already pretty vulnerable.
Yeah. And so, just, again, the whole, like you were saying, her being alone on the road with the guy. That's another thing. They set up situations that are very familiar. Being alone, driving, and someone following after you. Like, everyone knows how that feels. Everyone has had someone be sort of following. But again, they draw out that for so long in a good way.
It's not like Friday 13th scary. Like, I don't even think Friday 13th are scary. I feel like everything that, the fighting scenes, I guess everything that in the movie Alone could happen. So that's why it's
suspense. Yeah, and that's what I think makes it scarier. It's like, it's also, like, you know, there's also like, you go from one part where she doesn't know and she thinks maybe she's safe. Here's the thing. What keeps raising the stakes on is every time you think she's safe, something else happens. Like, she drives away. She's safe. She gets to the hotel. She's safe. She gets to the next station. She's safe. She escapes from the house. She's safe.
Right.
She finds the old guy. But every time the stakes are raised and there's danger.
That's why
it's
like
so
getting
good.
Getting into the back of his car or his truck or whatever, that to me was just the hardest. Like, I was like, for me, I would just fly away.
I think at that point she realized that it's gonna be like, either
forever.
I have to
fight,
find a way to fight and kill him, or find a way to get help, because she would have, remember how he said you're gonna bleed out eventually, because she had run and fought, you know, and got that huge stick in her leg. So she knew she had to do something. But again, it was very like, again, a great character, great suspense.
Jules Wilcox, was that her name?
Is that her name? Keep thinking, isn't there an Alex Wilcox? Or
there's the Alice Wilcox is from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah, okay. Sisters. I really think, and this is the type of movie, like, obviously it's not going to be a franchise or sequels. There couldn't be. It's not. But it's just a really good, standalone, suspenseful movie.
I agree. 110%. I recommend both films.
I recommend both, but if you're going to catch one, make sure catch Alone.
Yeah.
Because it's just, and it's the perfect season. It's the kind of movie, can you imagine like how I would have been watching that in the theater? Like that
oh my
would
gosh,
have been really
I would have
great.
Loved it.
It's great, but again, it doesn't mean it's not going to be good. Watch it like...
But Matt, would you watch it alone?
Alone? I know, that's the thing. Till now.
I watched it alone in my room, but since it was so hot, I had to like draw the blinds. I didn't want that blazing...
You're like sweating.
I didn't want the blazing sun in because today was like 100 degrees. So I watched it in air conditioning and I did love it.
Yeah.
But I mean, there was a couple times I did catch myself saying like, oh, go, go, go.
I know, but that's the whole point. I think whoever directed it or wrote it, or if it was a writer director, it's like, I think they took...
Bart Simpson.
I think they took like common situations and turned it into something really suspenseful, which I think is the best. Because like you said, it's like everybody can identify with those things versus... I guess what I mean is like compared to the other movie, I'm not going to Russia to go to an intense escape room.
You're
so
not?
I can't quite identify with that movie. I can enjoy it, but it's not as scary as, oh, hey, I'm driving in the middle of nowhere by myself. Everyone has done that at some point, right?
Well, I mean, I wonder if it's more scary because it's a woman.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, it's just a woman alone, you know, against a man coming after. It's just
a
feeling.
And he was a big guy. Like, he wasn't wimpy.
Do you know who he was? Oh, wait, you didn't... Oh, no, you do watch Ozark. He was the gay brother on Ozark.
What?
Looked totally... Because think about it. Shaved beard. Yeah, looked him up. Same guy, just completely different facial hair.
The gay brother
on
Ozark.
The one who got electrocuted, you know, by...
Oh, the mean one.
He was mean, but he was...
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. The one that the Ruthie... Yes. And he hooked up with the cop.
Yes, that's the bad guy.
God.
It was well cast, though, and it showed me that, wow, this guy has range because
diverse.
Those characters couldn't be any different. Like the hillbilly, closeted gay drug dealer versus the serial killer...
In the woods,
yeah. So it was good. It was good casting. It was everything. It was one of the better movies we've seen this year.
Oh, another fun fact before we go, and this is spooky season.
Spooky season.
Guess what I found out today?
What?
Fun fact.
You're pregnant.
I'm pregnant. No, I found out that Daniel Harris was in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Did you already know that?
What part?
Okay, so remember when there was all the Brad Pitt showed up in the desert and all those women are standing around?
Yes.
Okay, remember one of the women who's pregnant goes up and tells the other guy, she's like, hey, some guy's here. It was Daniel Harris, but she was like 9 months pregnant.
Wait, Daniel Harris was the pregnant?
Yeah, like she went up and said to that guy that ended up fighting with Brad Pitt.
Oh.
Do you remember it?
Yeah.
That's Daniel Harris.
I remember that. I guess I didn't notice that it was Daniel Harris.
Yeah, I didn't know it either, but I fell into a rabbit hole today. Thank you, Social Dilemma.
Now you're going to only get ads aimed at pregnant horror stars.
Right. Yes. Well, and then, okay, so I clicked that on YouTube, and then I went to the next YouTube video, and then we'll wrap this up. Did you let on, Daniel Harris was on Dr. Phil, and she was talking about how she had a stalker for 3 years?
What years of her life?
When she was 18.
Oh, so right after... She was gonna do Halloween 6 and then that didn't work out.
Yeah.
I mean, I believe it. Was it a horror-obsessed person?
No, he was obsessed with her, but I'm assuming he liked all her films.
Was he obsessed with her? And he's obsessed with her daughter.
Yes. No, but it was like, it was just very interesting. I watched all Dr. Phil.
Wow. I didn't know, I know Lark Voorhees was on Dr. Phil.
What?
Remember
from Saving the Bell.
When they asked her about, how does it make you feel that you weren't contacted to be in the reunion show? She's like, well, it was hurt, but I wrote in my journal. We're way off topic.
I know. We got to go because it's all right.
Yes, I'm Saved by the... Oh, by the way, they got a release date on Peacock, Saved by the Bell, the new one. It's like November 28th or something.
I can't wait.
I mean, I don't know if I'm going to subscribe to Peacock, but I may wait
you
till
get
the
it
whole
for like
season's
a week,
out.
Free?
That's what I was going to do. Wait till the whole season's out and
smart.
Then watch it. Because it's all right. Because
I'm Saved by the
Bell.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for listening to Happy Horror Time.
Thanks, everyone.
Ugh, it's so hot in this LA. Okay, bye.
Bye.